today and forever. Father, we believe that with the stripes of Jesus, and everybody say, I'm healed. I am the healed. I am the healed. And I thank you that you have come and I receive your healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I was obedient, okay? So the next part, let's just continue and pray. Father, for the rest of the part of the service, Father, I pray that you would open our eyes to see things we've not seen before. And Father, I pray that you'd open our ears to hear things that we've not heard before. And you'd give us the understanding so we can be and go and get to the places that you have prepared for us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm a little excited and a little over coffee medicated here, but that's okay. Praise God. The message the Lord said to me is Christmas is for giving. I was like, oh, goody, goody, goody. And he said, no, girl, listen. Christmas is forgiving. Not giving presents. Christmas really is all about forgiveness. Thank you. One amen. Agreed. Christmas is all about forgiveness. It is. If you get down to the grassroots of it, it is. Okay, now, I know all of you know all about forgiveness. Yeah, oh, yeah, Pastor D, I'm really up on that. Wait till you get through half of the message. Okay, because I got corrected on this, really. But even if you think you know everything, I believe God has you here to give you bigger understanding what forgiveness is, what Jesus, the forgiveness he gave you, and how you can walk in it. So everybody say, Christmas is forgiveness. Okay, now when I say forgiving or forgiveness, the whole idea of Jesus Christ, the whole idea of Jesus coming to this planet, the whole idea of God sending him, again, it was to offer forgiveness. That's it. It's to offer forgiveness. That's the whole deal. Now, if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, raise your hand. If you're one of those, you need to have an understanding of this. Because till the day he calls you home, you're going to have an opportunity to walk in forgiveness. And you might not even make it out of those doors today without having to practice this. Okay, so I think as believers, we need to have a real good Bible understanding of forgiveness. And I believe that the Lord is going to open your eyes and ears and hearts so you can be gooder at that. Amen. Amen. Now, the interesting thing is I was like, should I call this Christmas is forgiveness, or I kind of liked Christmas is to forgive or not to forgive? You know, I know it's a little corny. To forgive or not to forgive? You know, that is the question. But really, that is the question, because I get around Christians, all right, and they think they have a choice. They think they have a choice. Well, should I forgive them or should I not? Okay? It's my choice. I get to decide if I want to forgive you or if I don't. That's what some, you know, the church down there, right? Some Christians, like so-and-so, some Christians think they have to get to pick and choose. But the interesting thing is, listen, Jesus came to this planet to offer forgiveness. That's why he came. He didn't come so he can be a baby in a manger. Are you kidding me? Well, that must have been uncomfortable and stinky. Okay. He came. The purpose is to offer us forgiveness, to offer us forgiveness. Now, can you imagine him saying, I came to forgive, but you got to wait 20 years because I know your stuff. Oh, man. No, he came and he offered forgiveness instantaneously. Boom, just like that. Okay? He didn't hold back. So everybody say, Jesus came for forgiveness. Okay. Now, oh, wow, I forgot something. Okay, let me dig in my little bag of tricks here. Dun, 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 dun. All right. So last week we started our message and we said, Christmas has to do, or better yet, during the holiday seasons, things get magnified. Thank you, Grandma, for this, okay? I should have cleaned it. Okay. So things get magnified. And some people said, oh, no, Pastor D, every Christmas is just wonderful. I love Christmas. And I thought, wow, not my life. Because what I found out during the holiday season, if you are going through money issues, financial problems, the holidays just magnify that problem. Are you kidding me? I was over at a store, and this person pulled up two carts full of toys. And I thought, whoa, wonder who your employer is. You must be doing great. Because I was like, oh my gosh, that's a lot of money. So if you're having issues in your finances, this season just puts that and magnifies it. If you have not so good a relationship with Uncle Harvey, okay, and this holidays you get to see him, it tends to magnify the problem you've been having with Uncle Harvey, who is this old grizzly bear. And every time he shows up for the holiday, he is a pain in the, you know what? And everybody gets upset, and it's probably only me that gets upset because it magnifies, okay, in my life. So the holiday, because I never see him but once a year, and oh my gosh. Okay, so it magnifies. Now, speaking of magnifying glasses, right around, I grew up in North Jersey. I grew up on a street as long as this Weldon Drive is, but it had individual family homes. And 80% of us were Catholic back in the day, so we didn't use you know what. So everybody had 6 to 8 kids. It was a tremendous street to grow up on. Tremendous. I loved it. I have the best memories, and I'm not fantasizing. They're really good. But right about, My teacher's probably right about fifth, sixth, or seventh grade. During the summertime, we got into magnifying glasses. Okay? Now, it wasn't so we could see little things here. You know, make them bigger. No, what we would do is we'd go looking for a bug. We'd get a bug, and then we'd hold it down. Sometimes we'd... Somebody, so if you're a bug lover, I'm just going to ask you, forgive me right now. So we'd find a bug and we'd magnify, put that magnifying glass so the sun would fly, you know, shine down so it starts smoking and burn. Now, occasionally we do leaves, okay? And now, this is how young I am, cap guns. Okay. But the bugs were really the, because they start squirming, all right? Didn't I have a happy childhood? How many of you did that? Just so I, yeah, what do you think these things are for? And somehow, I don't know where we found these, that they really did. You know, we'd be smoking bugs here. Not smoking bugs, but you know, those kind of bugs. Okay. Okay. Now, the interesting thing about this, the whole purpose is we wanted to aim it so the sun would magnify on those bugs and smoke them, melt them and burn them and catch them on fire. I don't think they ever caught on fire, but we just felt so, you know, like that. But what I really wanted to say is during the holiday season, we sometimes tend to magnify issues in our life. Better yet, people. We like to magnify all the issues that I am having with you, and they get really big. Okay? If somebody's hurt me, especially if you've done me dirty, I like to magnify that. To the extent is, oh, I ran across you at the mall. Hi, how are you doing? All right? And you know what I do? Is I magnify the hurt in my life about the person that's hurt me. Anybody know anybody like that? Not me, right? Yeah, anybody know something like that? We magnify every problem. Now, the really interesting thing about this is the Bible, show me your Bible. This Bible is God's word. And in here, it says all over the place, oh, magnify the Lord. Right? Anybody read that? Oh, magnify God. Oh, magnify the Lord. Magnify him. I mean, you could just Bible.gateway.com and find up a whole bunch of those, okay? So the Bible says we're to magnify who? The Lord, okay? Now, the really funny part about it is I'm pretty sure I don't need God. I'm not going to make God any bigger. He doesn't need me to make him any bigger. God is God. He's big already. He's almighty. He's creator. He's big. So why would they say, oh, magnify the Lord? Because when I talk about the Lord, when I sing a song about the Lord, when I magnify him, some incredible things happen. He shows up. He shows up in my life. And my problems don't look so big because I'm magnifying the Lord. God, you are so great. God, you are almighty. God, you are strong. You are mighty. You are the King of kings, the Lord of lords, and you're my God. When I start doing that, I magnify him. I magnify him. All of a sudden, my financial problems, my problems with so-and-so, my kid problems, all that stuff, just kind of right? So, during the holiday, you can magnify all the hurts in your life, all them done you dirty stuff, okay? And or we, during the holiday season, especially, we got Christmas lights and Christmas bulbs and Christmas candles and Christmas presents and, okay, this should be a slap in the face reminder. Oh, magnify the Lord, okay? Amen. Good preaching, Pastor Dave. I'm glad you preached yourself happy. Okay, I did. Amen. Or when we can, instead, we can magnify everything that someone's done to our life and all the hurt and poor me. And we can magnify that to everybody we meet. Oh, Brenton, how you doing? Haven't seen you in a while. Do you know what, happened to me? And you go, you let all this garbage out of your mouth. Or, now listen, I don't ever deny I've had an issue, okay? But I would choose best because the result is greater. Oh, magnify God. Tell of God's greatness. You know what? I am believing. My God's faithful, Brenton. He's faithful. He's coming through, and I'm ready for him, okay? Instead of about my poor problems, my poor me, okay? So we have a choice. That's our choice. Now, turn over to Genesis 45. I'm going to read it in about 5 minutes. So if it takes you 5 minutes, you can, you know, look in the front of the book, find out what page. It's good. All right. Because I got to do that too. Genesis 45. Let me give you a quick background. It's about the story of Joseph. Now, if especially living in this area, you probably know about Joseph because all you have to do is go to Sight and Sound. Man, you know, and people watch these movies and they know about Joseph. Okay, may not be the exact Bible thing, but they know about Joseph. But let me give you a quick background. Joseph had this dream. Guys, nothing the matter with dreams. All right, some of them aren't good dreams, God dreams, but this particular dream that God gave Joseph was a God dream. This particular dream he woke up was a God dream. Some of you, it was what you ate last night or what you watched on TV. All right, so he had a God dream. And God shows him that his brothers, his family, are going to bow down to him someday. Right? Everybody know that part of the story? So now let me ask you, if God shows you something and you are so excited about it, don't you want to tell your family about it? Yeah. Man, you've already picked up the phone to 5 different people. Man, I was reading the word, or last night I had a dream and God showed me this, and you're excited about it. So Joseph does the same thing. So Joseph is excited about what God showed him, and he gathers his brothers and he gathers his mom and dad, and he says, hey, you know, last night I went to bed, I was laying there, and I must have had a dream, and in the dream God showed me that you're going to bow down to me. Amen. Especially if you're the youngest brother. Hey, guys, God showed me you're going to bow down to me. Wow. Okay, now, in our Bible story, in the story here, his parents really have a hard time with it, don't they? Yeah, they have a hard time. they have a hard time with it. And the brothers, it says, hated him more. Hated him more. And the reason why they hated him more is because they already had believed that their father favored Joseph more than the rest of them. So he's already got, you know, 80 strokes against him. And then he tops this one on. And they hated him more. They hated him more. So much that they started scheming. Man, we're going to get that little snot. We're going to get him out in the wilderness. We're going to get him out there and we're just going to kill him. Yeah, let's do it. High five, high five, high five, high five. I don't know how many brothers there are. I can't remember today. Okay. So they get him out in the wilderness and, they capture him and they throw him in a pit and they're ready to kill him. But thank goodness one of their brothers had some wisdom and he said, listen, we can't kill him. Oh, come on. We can't kill him. And everybody else is like, you're losing the vote. So they for a few seconds, they decide they're not going to kill him. And along comes this caravan of foreigners. And they happen to be people that like to buy people as slaves. They are people who like to buy people as slaves. So the brothers yank Joseph out of the pit. And they say, hey, look at this guy. Don't you want to buy him for a slave? And they go, yeah. So they buy Joseph. All right, they buy Joseph as a slave and they take off. Then those scheming brothers go back and they're like, oh, what are we going to tell mom and dad? What are we going to tell them? So they decide, oh, they're going to lie. So they go, mom and dad. They take Joseph's coat and they dip it in an animal blood. They kill an animal and they dip it in blood and they go to mom and dad. Mom and dad, look what we found. This is Joseph's coat. Oh my gosh. Mom, dad, an animal must have killed him. Look. Oh my gosh. So everybody's boohooing and they believe, mom and dad believe that Joseph's been killed. He's dead. Okay. That's just the background. Now, let's read Genesis 45 verses 1 and 2. Now, at this point, where I left off my dramatic story is Joseph has been sold. And this is years later. And Joseph, Pharaoh has now taken Joseph and promoted him to number two in the nation. Number two. He has all authority. There's only one other person. That's Pharaoh. He is in charge, actually, of all the food distribution. Food distribution for all the people that would come to Egypt, because there's a famine going in Egypt and all over the lands. And people from in Egypt and foreigners are coming to Egypt. So these brothers go and they come. Their dad sent them on a shopping trip. Okay, said, you need to get enough food for our families back in Israel. So they go and they ask the head, which is Joseph, who has all the authority. You know, we want to buy food. And Joseph recognizes them. And he has a meal with them. He pulls them aside and puts them in this room and he has a meal with them. Okay, he's having a meal with them. And here we go. Then Joseph, so they're having the meal with them. And verse 1. Genesis 45, verse 1. Then Joseph could no longer contain himself. Before all his attendants, he cried out, have everyone leave my presence. So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. But verse 1, Joseph no longer contain himself. Okay, now, so Joseph no longer could contain himself. And it says later on there is that everybody in the palace heard Joseph no longer containing himself. He had an emotional, wah! He saw his brothers and he had to run out, hysterical, overrun with emotion. He ran out and everybody in the palace is hearing Joseph with this loud sobs and screams. Okay, now, probably they're all going, oh, did you see what happened to Joseph? Joseph was in this room with all these foreigners. The next thing he goes, he's running out. I think he had an emotional breakdown. And this is the chitter and chatter that all in the palace. And I'm pretty sure if you told one person in the palace, the next person, and then the guy all the way down the street knows about it. Okay? So I have read this story of Joseph for years. And I've always thought, Joseph sees his brothers and he's got all these happy tears and he does the happy dance. Woo-hoo! Okay. And then I started thinking, I'm one of six kids. And if my gang of brothers and sisters put me in a pit, sold me, never came looking for me on Facebook, Yeah. How do you think you'd feel? I was thinking about that. Okay? So today, I want to give you a different perspective. I want to give you a different perspective. I just want to tweak your little brain, because I always thought they did that happy, whoo, you know, happy tears and stuff like that. I really don't think so. Okay? So, how many of you have grown up in a large family? Man, we go to fighting. We love big, but we fight big. It was really fun. Okay. So I thought about that, and I thought, I would be deeply hurt. My sister, my brothers, sisters would do that to me. I believe Joseph was deeply hurt by that. Would you be deeply hurt? Yeah, a few other things going on too. Okay. So here's my question. So on the top of your sheet, what do you do when someone hurts you? Okay? Because Joseph does this well. So what do you do when someone hurts you? Anybody ever been hurt in life? Okay. What do you do? Especially during the holiday season, it seems like I am put in situations where I'm forgive. Okay. So what do you do when somebody hurts you? Okay. What do you do when somebody hurts you? Do you magnify all their hurts? Do you magnify them? What do you mean when you magnify them? I mean, you go around telling everybody everything they've ever done to you. That's called magnifying. Okay. That's when I say, what do you, all right. That's what I mean to magnify. You go tell everybody. Okay. So you magnify it. So you have a choice. When I'm hurt, do I magnify it or do I do what the scriptures say? Do I magnify and tell everybody all my hurts, even though it happened a zillion years ago? Okay. So if you're taking notes, the first thing you have to do, choose to pray. Fill in the blank. Choose to pray. You need to choose to pray. Turn over to Luke 23, please. Luke 23. Are you having fun yet? I am. Luke 23, verse 34. Today I'm reading out of the NIV because it just makes it really simple. Luke 23, verse 34. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Okay, I get the first, Father, forgive them. But they know not what they do? Are you kidding me? Okay, but really, how many times have somebody done something? If you really just walk in the love of God, if someone's done something to you and they've hurt you, that was their words, it was their actions, it was what they didn't do or what they did do. How many times in reality it was they had no clue what they were doing? They didn't have a clue what they were doing, right? They didn't really intend to do that. Yeah, right, Pastor D. Go to bed thinking that. I'm glad you're happy. No, guys. Sometimes people aren't thinking with both sides of their brain when they do stuff and they say stuff to you. I'm for real, okay? Like somebody did something to you and they hurt you and then they just moved out of your life, took off. And then about 5 years later, the phone rings, or 5 years later, you see them and you go, oh. And then they call you up, or they run up to you. Pastor D, I'm looking at Matt, I'm going to embarrass him. Pastor D, can I talk to you after service? I'd like to talk to you, buddy. Huh? So you say, you go, sure, you put on your happy face. Sure, my pastor face, sure. Okay, so you talk to, they come up and talk to you, and they say this amazing thing. Pastor D, would you forgive me? I don't know what I was thinking when I said that to you or did that to you. I felt like I had an out-of-body experience. Pastor D, would you forgive me? And you know, right about then I'm thinking, I know you're smarter than the fifth grader. You're not an idiot. You know what you were doing. No, guys, sometimes people really aren't thinking of the effect of their words to their mouth or their actions to you. All right? So, remember the scripture in the Bible? It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, rulers, and darkness. So listen, sometimes they're influenced. Everybody say influenced. They're influenced by some other stuff. And they really bless their darling hearts and their stupid heads, as the person used to say, that they didn't know what they're doing. They really weren't conscious. They really weren't thinking how hurtful that would be. Okay. So what do you do when someone hurts? You pray for them. All right. Okay. Next one. What do you pray? God, just strike them down. Yeah, I love that. I like that one where Paul gets thrown off of this horse. I have prayed that. God, just throw him off their horse. And, you know, you're not supposed to do that. So what do you pray? Number one, your note says, pray for God to heal their hurts. It didn't take me long to figure this out. The world even has a saying, hurting people hurt people. Hurting people hurt people. Hurting people hurt people. Hurting people hurt people. Hurting people. I have to say that. That's why they did that, all right? Now, I will guarantee if somebody has hurt you with their words. Matter of fact, I just went through this with a couple of my kids. It wasn't Sherry, so now we're down to three. You can figure out who it is. And you know, the boy's the quiet one. The two other girls, all right? And no names mentioned on the tape here. Okay. So-and-so calls up and says, she said this hurt my feelings. I can't believe she did that. And and the one over there doesn't have a clue that she hurt her sister's feelings. But I said to the one over here, about the one over here, I said, you know, she's going through a hurt right now. You forgot to look why she's hurt. So you get why she said this and hurt you? Oh, okay, I'll pray for her. Yeah, you pray for her. She's your sister. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay, so there are times people will say things and do things, and you really have to think. You know, I say, have you walked in their shoes? Do you know what's going on in their life? Okay, so they hurt. So number two. How do you pray? Pray for God to forgive them. And Jesus was our example back in Luke 23. He says, Father, forgive them. So I'm going to pray forgiveness, not lightning down on them. I'm going to pray to forgive them. I am going to pray to forgive them. All right? Now, you know what this does when you pray to forgive her? It says, I am bringing God onto his word. I am making God do his word. It's because you said I'm to pray to forgive. So I'm going to do this, and it brings God on the scene. And that's better than me on the scenes, okay? Okay. So you're going to pray to forgive them. Amen. Number three, pray for God to bless them. Pray for God to bless them. Turn over to Luke 6. Luke 6. Pray for God to bless them. Not lightning. Man. Not throw them off the horse. I thought that was better than lightning. Luke 6, 27 and 28. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you, do you dirty, talk about you, who hurt you. So it says I can't curse them, I can't throw them under the bus and lightning, and I am to pray and bless them. I'm to pray for blessings, okay? Now, I remember this person had hurt me deeply, and I knew this. And I was having a pity party. And the Lord says, you are to pray for me to bless them. Are you kidding me? And I was miserable because I knew this. I was miserable. The other person who'd hurt me wasn't miserable. So I had to get my act together, and I started doing that. And I'd pray blessing over them. I'd pray blessings over their kids. If they had grandkids, I was praying blessings over their grandkids. I was praying, bless God, you bless them financially. You bless their family. You give them peace. I probably spent more time praying blessings on them. And one day I realized, I'm free. Didn't hurt me. That hurt that I was hurt was gone. It's actually miraculous, guys. pray for God to bless them, and you pray the blessings over them too, okay? Pray for God to bless them. Alrighty, pray. Now, I have to tell you, I have failed a whole bunch in that. There's a whole pile over here. I have just totally not done good. And then I have a pile over here. I'm getting good at that. So listen, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. But I really think we can do this better. Everybody say, amen. I am going to get better at praying blessings, okay, doing it good. So if somebody hurts you, number one, you choose to pray. Number two, you choose to forgive. Forgive, forgive, forgive. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Man, am I hot here. I was like, turn that heat off, put the AC on. No, don't do that, you guys. Yeah, I really was like, whoa. Okay, Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Pray. Actually, what this one is, I choose to forgive. Everybody say, I choose to forgive. Okay, Matthew 6, 14. If you forgive men when they sin, hurt you, say things about you, they sin. If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Hallelujah. But if you do not forgive the hurts, the bad things, the sins, right? Your Father will not forgive your sins. I did not write this. Matter of fact, that wouldn't be in my version. Because I think sometimes I'm entitled not to forgive them. You don't know, God, what they did to me and my family. No, no. Huh? If you do not forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive yours. So listen, you read that and you go, what? You don't have a choice. You don't have a choice, according to the Word of God. You don't have a choice. God wants you to forgive people. And I'm going to tell you something. You're going to do it by faith. There has never been a time. Okay. You're going to do it by faith. You're going to do it without your feelings feeling it. You're going to do it by faith without your feelings feeling it. You're just going to do it without your feelings. Everybody say, I'm going to do it without my feelings. Amen. So now, I'm going to do it without my feelings. Amen. And you're going to do it, and you're going to do it, and you're going to do it, you're going to do it without your feelings. You're going to do it by faith. All right. Now, has anybody ever got out at 5 a.m. in the morning, it's still dark outside, and you go, yay, I'm going to go to the gym and work out. Yay. No. You have to make yourself get up when it's dark and go to the gym where there's pain. Right? All right. No one gets up and goes, oh, yay, today's the day. I feel like I should forgive everybody that's ever hurt me. Yay, it's forgiveness day. Woohoo! Anybody ever have one of those days? Still waiting for that. No, you forgive by faith. Because you don't have a choice in this. You don't have a choice. God tells you to do it. All right, my version would have given you a choice. I would have gotten the nice guy. But listen, God loves you so much, and he really has reasons for that. So you do it by faith without the feelings. Excuse me. You simply say, I forgive. I forgive them. Okay. Because really, guys, I just want to punch their lights out. I do. All right. But no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to forgive. I choose. I make a decision to forgive. I make a decision to forgive. Okay. Now, what else am I hearing here? I love doing this. Okay. This is not to be done now. This is if you want to put your big girl panties on and grow up. It's time to grow up. This is one here for you. Who is it that I haven't forgiven? Who is that person? Okay. You got to get quiet on that. You got to get quiet, and just spend some time. Because, the funny thing about the people that have hurt you, they've gone on in life. They're having a great old time. The only person that is tied up and not going where they're supposed to go is you. So you have to ask. Now, I'll give you a real easy way to find out if you forgave somebody. I see you And I go, I really haven't forgiven you. That's how I know. Not that we go by feelings, but man, that's a good one. Or you see them and they go, oh, okay, and it wasn't tongues. It was a beep, 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 beep. All right. So now it's really, I'm always amazed at Christians. The world, those that have not had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God deposited in their heart, have had a change. I'm not talking about that bunch. I get it. But Christians, followers, those who have had an encounter where God has come to live and abide inside of you, this I don't get, okay? Pastor, while we were in the worship service, the Holy Spirit spoke to me that I finally forgave my sister after 25 years. Like, come pat me on the back. That amazes me. Hurts me, too. It amazes me that it took them 25 years to forgive someone. Shame, shame. Okay. And seriously, you're happy? Pastor D, look, I forgave them after 25 years. I'm like, guys, you shouldn't be telling me that. Okay. Everybody say, it's time to forgive. It's time. It's time, guys. It's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. Now, let me give you true Bible forgiveness. There's kind of two extremes to this, so let me get you on both sides, and then you know where you're going. One of the extremes is over here. And there's this young lady. She's maybe an older woman right now. And somebody has taken advantage of her. Somebody has maybe molested her, raped her, done horrible, unmentionable things. This is a young lady over here. She's a Christian. Okay? Now, this is an extreme. This is a Christian. This should not happen, and it does. Disgusting. Okay? This person still, according to the word of God, we just went through this, has to forgive that person. And they'll probably have to take my notes, okay? They have to forgive that person. And everybody say really loud, but you do not have to have a relationship with that person. You do not have to be friendly. You do not have to have them enter into your world ever again. But that person has unforgiveness. They have a deep hurt. They have deep hurt and a whole bunch of things that go with this, okay? They still need to say, God, today, by faith, not my emotions, I forgive so-and-so for the hurt and the pain and what they've done to me. I forgive them. I forgive them. I forgive them. And they'll probably say that every day for a long time. But that's okay. They made a decision to forgive, and God will do the rest. God is the restorer of the brokenhearted and the things that happen in life. But, everybody say but. They don't have to have a relationship with the people that did that, right? Okay. Now, that's the extreme over here. Now, the extreme over here. These are church folks. Everybody say hi to them. Hi, church folks. We love church folks, okay? Church folks meaning they're believers. They're walking with God, Jesus, you know, I love Jesus, okay? They come to church and they go, oh, I love Jesus. I love church. Church is so amazing. You know, when I hear someone say that, I go, oh, God, I'm going to pray for them right now. Father God, I just pray that they will not be offended. Pastor D, why would you pray a prayer like that? Because church folks, somehow, some way, we offend people. Not this church, right? Because you're all looking at me like, what are you talking about, Pastor B? Okay. People aren't perfect. Even Christians. Church folks. So this happens all the time. Pastor D, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. I just love YCF. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And Pastor D, I've signed up for 8 ministries here. Oh, my gosh, this is incredible. I love this place. I love the people here. 6 months go by. And I look at them. I go, what's going on with you? Because they're not involved in anything. They sit in the last row in the last seat. They're not talking to anybody. Not looking at anybody. That's another church, right? Okay. not talking to anybody. So I go up to them. I go, hey, what's going on? Pastor D, somebody told me I wasn't allowed to do something. And I'm offended. Somebody told you you weren't allowed to do something? Erica, who told you you weren't allowed to do something? And that's it. She says, well, the head of the department. Who do they think they are anyway? I'm the boss. Okay. And I'm so offended. I'm telling you guys, I don't have enough fingers and toes to tell you how often that happens in church. Sad, sad, sad. Not this church. Hallelujah. Okay. Okay. Now, true Bible forgiveness for this person. Ready? You get it right, baby. You go and ask that person to forgive you, and they can ask you to forgive you, and you get back in the game. You start serving. You start talking. You start getting back into the family. We're the family. You get it right fast. Ah, love it. Now, how many of you have families? How many of you have families that somebody, especially if you come from a large family, somebody said something and hurt your feelings? I can't believe. What? All right. Can you imagine that now you're not going to talk to them? You're not going to go have family functions because they said something about me. Or worse, they said something about my kid. Oh, man. You know, they really going here. Okay. Now, again, we are not talking about this young lady who was molested or raped, okay? Her only thing is to, by faith, forgive, and that's it. They don't have to do something with that, ever get there. Now I'm talking about church folks over here. You get it right. You forgive. You ask for forgiveness, you and your high horse, okay? And you get back in the game. That's true Bible forgiveness. Hallelujah. We don't have any of that stuff happening here. Amen. Okay, so my question to you is, who is it that I haven't forgiven? Okay, who is that person? Now, how do I forgive? So we found out we don't pray, strike them dead, lightning, and stuff like that. Okay, so how do I forgive? Number one. Oh, okay. You focus on how God has forgiven you. You focus on how God has forgiven you. You focus on how God has forgiven you. Listen, I don't know your laundry. Some of you, I know your socks. But I don't know your underwear, okay? I know my stuff. And when I think about what God has forgiven me of, it never stopped to make me cry. My Jesus forgave me of all my sins, my past, the ones I'm still doing today, and the ones I'm going to do tomorrow. He forgave me. Isn't that wonderful? So you focus. You know, just go down memory lane a little bit, and then you go, who am I? Who am I to not to forgive? So who am I? I can't read my scripture here. Where is that? Colossians 3:13. Got me crying. Colossians 3:13. Colossians 3. That's after Ephesians. It's after Philippians. Here we go. Hallelujah. Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against anyone. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Forgive as the Lord has any grievances, any sins, anything they've done, you forgive because of what the Lord has done to you. Everybody close your eyes for a second. Just think, Father, man, Father, Jesus, I want to thank you for forgiving me all my sins. Thank you. Thank you. Man, I'm so blessed. Hallelujah. Thank you. Okay, open your eyes. Don't fall asleep. Coffee's not on again. Okay. Now, so. Everybody say so. So when somebody comes up to you and they grab you and say, can I talk to you after service? And you go, and they say, could you forgive me? Can you forgive me? And you do not, cannot say, I can't. You cannot say, I can't. You can, because that girl over there still says, I choose, okay? You can never say, I can't. Amen? You are going to forgive even as Christ has forgiven you. You are going to forgive even as Christ has forgiven you. All right, number two. You choose, how do you forgive? You choose to bless them. And I want to get a little bit more into that and turn over to Romans. Romans 12. There's some, I love Romans. Has anybody ever done the study by Andrew Womack on the book of Romans? Incredible. It's good. And Diane, what's that other one that you guys did at yours? Was that just a individual group?
We did one on forgiveness.
Oh, R.T. Kendall. Yep. He'll get you forgiven. Alrighty. Hallelujah. Where am I? Romans 12, 19 and 20. Romans 12, 19 and 20. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine and I will repay, says the Lord. who has a King James where it says, who has a King James version? Pat? Yes, please. 19 and 20. Amen. So mine says burning coals. I didn't read far enough because I was like, what version am I using? I read that yesterday and I thought, burning coals of fire on top of them. Awesome. God, awesome. Burning coals of fire. Okay. No. Okay. What God is saying, not you will pull burning coals of fire. And he's not talking about burning coals of fire. Awesome. He's talking about I will melt their heart. I will melt their heart. I will do something on the inside. I, not D, burning coals of fire. No, I will start melting their heart when you forgive. Forgive them. Let me do the work, all right? Your job, everybody say, I choose to forgive. That's all. Your job is I choose to forgive, all right? Verse 21 on Romans 12, 21. Do not be, this was for me, maybe not for you. Do not be overcome by evil. You can't pray lightning down on them. But overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. You know, and it took me, I've had, you know, people do you dirty. They don't know it and stuff like that. And it's been a walk. It's something you walk and you get better at it. But I choose to get better and I'm choosing to forgive and to do good. So usually it is, I just start praying for them. Just start praying for them, okay? Now, you don't have to go give them a trip to Hawaii, though I'll take one, okay? But just start praying for them, all right? Luke 6, turn over to Luke 6, 27 and 8. That's a good one. Aren't you glad you bought your Bibles? Luke 6, 27 and 28. Luke 6. Because if you didn't like Romans 12, 21, Luke 6, because this is Jesus. Jesus is dishing out the instructions. Here we go. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. I said this before. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless them and pray for them. Okay, I read that before. But listen, you are to choose to do that. Love them. Bless them. Pray for them. Don't curse them, all right? Choose. Okay, so last one. What do you do when someone hurts you? How do you forgive? Number three, release and let them go. Release and let them go. Release and let them go. The Greek word in the Greek dictionary, I looked up in this big old thing. It's just striking. Here we go. Forgive means to treat the guilty party. Treat the guilty party. You're guilty. You are the guilty party. You're the guilty party. Treat them as though they've never sinned. What? I didn't write this. That's what that word means. Treat the person who did you dirty as if they've never sinned. Listen, every time you sin, what does it say? God does not forget. Remember your sins from the east to the west, right? He's not because he's got dementia going on. He chooses. God chooses to forgive, and he looks at you as though you've never sinned. God chooses to forgive you, and he looks as though at you as though you've never sinned when you ask him to forgive you. So what do you do? And listen, Jesus willingly got on that left heaven, died on a cross, shed his blood so he could forgive you all your multitude of sins. That's your Savior. So what does it mean to treat the guilty party as though they've never sinned? What does that mean? Okay, so somebody does something wrong and they hurt you. That means when I see them at the mall, I am not going to go into the store and hide. Okay? That means when I see my best friend and we're going to hang out today, and I'm going to tell them I saw them at the mall, and I'm going to talk about them and what they did to hurt me. Because I've chosen to forgive them as though they've never sinned against me. Whoa, that's faith, Pastor D. You bet it. Till the day you die, you'll walk in faith. You know, sometimes you think it's mountain-moving faith. This is a mountain-moving faith. Amen? Okay, so I choose. And really what I do is I am choosing now to love them. I see them and I'm going to love them. I'm not going to run away from them. I'm not going to hide. I am not going to talk bad about them as soon as I go, ah! All right? I am going to choose to love them because it says love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. And besides, they didn't do anything. They're not guilty. Because forgiveness says I will treat that person as if they've never sinned. They've never sinned. Oh, we're best. Oh, yeah. Okay. I choose to treat them. That means I'm not in denial what they did. Okay. I choose to treat them as though they've never sinned. I choose to forgive. I choose to love. So 1 Corinthians 13, this is your homework. 1 Corinthians 13, your homework. Would you do this every day for the whole week? Get up and read it, verses 4 through 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. Every day. If you do better in the morning, say it every day in the morning. If you do better at night, say it at night. And if you need to say it three times a day because you know we're spending the holidays with that grizzly old Uncle Harry and his stinking, it does everything. Okay, you might have to do it three times a day until Christmas when you see him. Okay, you are going to, I love it. Love is kind, love is patient, love is kind, love holds no aught, love is not easily offended, love takes no account of wrongs done to it. Love does not keep an account sheet because it is forgiven. And if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you call yourself a Christian, and now you have an understanding, and you are Just saturate yourself in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 for a whole week. How do you think you're going to love people? This big. You're going to love big. You're going to love big. So my gang that came down to pray this morning at 9:30 downstairs, I run in and I said, this is the word for today. Love much and go far. If you have an understanding of forgiveness, then you have to understand love. So first you understand love, who God is. God has loved you so much, he doesn't hold your account sheet. All right? Now, I will tell you, as having been married, that you just love to bring that account sheet up. You're not walking in love. You are not walking in love. That account sheet's done. It's done. Tear it up. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that. That caused more garbage in my marriage because, well, don't you remember back in 20 years ago you did this? Okay. So if we were to do this every day, do this homework, okay? Do this homework every day. Say this, and watch how big we love and how far we go. Guys, there is a world that needs to be loved big. They are waiting for you to love them big. They are waiting for you to love them big. You're going to have to get this forgiveness thing straightened out, and then you'll just love. You'll be gushes of love, all right? You'll be happy when you go through Walmart. Walmart on Saturday night. What was I thinking? I just thought it happened only on Friday night. No, this is the month of December. And I walked through those doors, and I thought, number one, you made a mistake. You shouldn't be here. Number two, then I said, I choose to be joyful, to be full of love, and to be smiling. I was choosing to do that. And I had a bunch of opportunities. Some lady, I just wanted to say, would you take that kid and get him out of here? He is just running, and, you know, it was a zoo, okay? Isn't it fun to choose to love? It is, okay. Praise the Lord. Let's just close your eyes for a second. If you're here today and you have never chosen to receive this incredible love that God has, that Jesus has, I want to tell you, today's your day. Today's your day, because if you've never chosen to receive the Lord Jesus and you're not sure where you'll spend eternity, and let me tell you, there is an eternity. There is an eternity. Today's your day. You can receive and know and know and know where you'll spend eternity. Hallelujah. So if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor D, I got to get this. I got to get this. Would you raise your hand? Everybody else's eyes are closed. Okay, anybody here that say, Pastor D, I'd like to receive the one who would forgive me of all my sins, all the horrible things I've done. I'd like to receive him. I'd like him to be my Lord and my Savior. Is there anybody here today? Okay, is there anybody here today that would say, Pastor D, I have received Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior, but I have just moved far, far away. And today, after hearing this, I would like to come back and just get going in the right direction. Would you like to get it together again? If you're here today, just slip up your hand and say, Pastor D, I'm ready to return. I'm ready to return. Okay. Now, the last one. I'm given three options, one, two, or three. If you're here today and you'd like to receive the Holy Spirit, because you will need this power in your life to do what we just talked about. If you'd like to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's free. The Holy Spirit, if you'd like to receive him, today is a great day to be endued with power on high so that you can go and be this witness and go and love big and go far. If you'd like to receive the Holy Spirit, you just raise your hand. I'd like to pray for you. Okay. I see that hand. Is there anybody else? You've never received the Holy Spirit. I see that hand. And you say, Pastor D, it's exhausting doing it without some extra power. And I'd like to receive the Holy Spirit. Okay. Anybody else? Maybe you're one of those that needs a refresher course. You said once, you said, I received the Holy Spirit, but I've not had the evidence with speaking other tongues. It's right from the Bible, start in John and go through Acts. It's real. And you say, Pastor D, I just need a little pump priming. I'd pray for you. Come on, you can come on over here and I'll pray for you. Okay. Well, we're good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you saw people's hearts today. I just saw their faces, but Father God, you saw people's hearts today. You know them and you love them. You love them so tremendously. Like it blows me away when we think about how much you love. But Father, I thank you that the words that they've heard about knowing you, I pray that they might know you deeper and bigger and wider from now until Christmas time. And Father, as they come to know you and understand how much and all that you've done and forgiven them, I thank you, Father, that these words would just explode in their heart. And from today until Christmas time, Father, they'll be top of the class forgivers. Father, they'll quickly pray. They'll quickly forgive. They'll quickly bless. I thank you, Father, for that. And Father, for those that have just been far away from you. You see, you know, Lord, just you stand at the door with your arms wide open. And I thank you today. They take time and say, God, I've just really been away. And I ask you to forgive me. And he says, come on home, baby. And you just welcome them. And they get planted and rooted, Father, in you, in the word, in the body of Christ. And for those that raised their hand, Father, to receive the Holy Spirit, you said you just have to ask. Well, the only requirement is to know the Lord Jesus. And I knew those people. And then the second part, you just simply say, Father, you're giving out good gifts. And today I ask you for the Holy Spirit, that he would fill me and flow out of me. Give me this new language. I thank you for it. And I will give you glory and praise. And I will be a servant for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Those two people that raised their hand for the Holy Spirit, I'm going to dismiss everybody. If you come up, I have some things to give you. And I'll just give you a little more direction. All right. Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. Let's say it. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. Everything I set my hand to, I prosper in. Father, send me, because I will love big and go far. Send me in Jesus' name. Amen. You're blessed. Next Sunday is Christmas Sunday here. Bring people. Bring them. We'll love them. We'll take care of them. Don't worry. All right. I love you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.